Hello and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 22, the oldest running debate show on Indian News Television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. So five states are going to polls next year. And there is a mother of all battles, the battle royale expected in Uttar Pradesh. The opposition started off by having very many arrows in their quiver. But the last month has seen at least one big issue vanish or diminish in its importance. And that is the farm law, because it was repealed. Farmers have also gone back. Despite that, Taney's resignation, Ajay Mishra Taney, who is the MOS home, and price rise are still big issues to corner this government. Very big. One would think that this would be a potent message to take to the people against the government by the opposition. However, we've seen over the past month a divided opposition, breaking each other's ranks, and above all, playing straight into the BJP playbook. The Hindu debate. At the Congress rally on price rise in Jaipur, Rahul ended up mentioning Hindus. And last month, Akhilesh thought of bringing in Jinnah into the discourse, much to the delight of the BJP. This is exactly what they want. The party lapped it up. The fight basically now is, who is fighting the battle on whose turf? But why can't politicians counter the Hindu debate? Many ask. Well, in politics, if you can play a game, play it well or be defeated. Survival of the fittest. So on The Big Fight tonight, we ask this simple question. Hindu, Hindutvavadi versus the Mehngai debate. Is the opposition walking straight into a BJP trap? Let me now introduce our guest this evening, Ambassador Pawan Verma, member of the Trinamool Congress. We also have Vibhakar Shastri, spokesperson of the Congress Party. He's also the grandson of Sir Shri Lal Bahadur Shastri ji. Lalita Kumaramangalam, director of the India Foundation, member of the BJP. PKD Nambiar, political analyst, supports the BJP. Tehsin Poonawala, political analyst, supports the Congress. And we'll have other guests also joining us through the course of this debate. Ghanshyam Tiwari, spokesperson of the Samajwadi Party, is now also with us. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Important issue on who sets the narrative. In the first punch, we give each one of you 1 minute of time for your opening comments. So, Ambassador Verma, we'll begin with you. Your minute begins now.
No, obviously, the BJP is milking the possibility of polarization to the full. It's a political party. It realizes the potential of this subject and it uses it to deflect attention from real issues. Now, it is a fact that the opposition currently is divided and has not yet formed a cohesive pan-Indian narrative which can provide a counter, a potent counter to the blatant and transparent attempt by the BJP to divide voters on the basis of religion. It is something that the opposition is still working on and the TMC is in the front line of trying to correct this lacuna. But at the moment, the BJP is using religion as a means to consolidate itself electorally.
Sure. Okay. I'm going to come back to you, Ambassador Verma, so that we elaborate on this further. Ms. Lalita Kumaramangalam, good to have you on the show after a very long time, Ms. Kumaramangalam. Welcome. Your opening comments.
Thank you. I find it very ironic that people are talking about religion being a part of politics. From the day India was divided in 1947, and that was a political divide. Remember that all the hard work put in by millions of people of this country, regardless of religion, caste, creed, all of that. Ultimately, it was a partition that was based on religion. And it was a political partition. Even if people like Ambassador Verma lay the blame purely on the BJP and say that we are the ones who have divided Indian society, let me remind him that the Hindu majority community in this country is the only community till today, possibly in the world, not just in India, whose religious institutions are totally controlled by the state. Totally. The word secular in India today has become almost like in some to some people an insult, to some people a badge of honor. And the fact is that secular originally okay. means the religion and state remain separate. It is not separate in India anymore.
Sure.
And when, sure.
We are going to come to that. Ms. Kumaramangalam, you're raising an important
half
point.
A minute.
Yeah, no. One more. There are many, very many guests who have to speak. I'm going to come back to you, Ms. Kumaramangalam. I promise.
But if we say Ram Janmabhoomi, it's not secular.
Okay. Okay. Deshratan Nigam is also with us. Thank you very much. Political analyst, views leans towards the RSS. Vibhakar Shastri, your opening comments.
Thank you, Sanket, for having me over. Good evening to all the panelists. See, by combining the two issues, we are distracting from the... We're trying to distract ourselves from the core issues. And both the issues are very, very important issues, but obviously the first issue is always mehengai. And the retail index shows that has gone up to 4.48% in October from 4.35% in September. These are the government data. Again, why? Because of the rising prices of fuel, rising prices of vegetables, rising prices of oil. And the BJP is trying to play the Hindutva card to hoodwink the poor people of this country because of all the failures they have done in the past 8 years okay. of governance, whether at the center or at the state.
Okay,
Uttar
Mr. Shastri, I'm going to have to come back to you. 1 minute time is up. I'll come back to you. You can complete. Ghanshyam Tiwari, spokesperson of the Samajwadi Party.
Good evening, Sanket, to you, my fellow co-panelists and your viewers. We look at the state of opposition from the prism of Uttar Pradesh election. And Uttar Pradesh election, I think there are two parallel streams. One is BJP is doubling down on the Modi Yogi Tamasha and offering people exactly what they do not want and not saying what they want. What people are talking about is unemployment. People are talking about the chutta pashu on the ground. That is what farmers are talking about. Everybody is talking about why Ajay Mishra Teni continues to be a minister in the government. And people are talking about the price rise, the everyday harmony issues, and the complete agenda of propaganda that BJP has to offer, but not an agenda of hope. In the face of it, we have stuck to our syllabus, which is about presenting people the agenda of a better state under the leadership of Akhilesh Yadavji, which is about price rise, employment, harmony, basic development, improved school structure, and everything that people desperately need. So in that, I think that BJP is going to face a drubbing in Uttar Pradesh just because they are on the wrong foot.
Okay. Okay. Mr. PKD Nambiar.
Well, there are two things, Sanket. One is the development. Of course, the whole country talks about development every day, and the government of the land, whether it is in the state or in the central, always talk about development. But on the other hand, there is a Hindu renaissance taking place, which is being kept under the wrap because of the political reasons and the vote bank politics of the Congress and rest of the people. If there is a Hindu renaissance is happening or a cultural nationalism awakening is taking place, I think it is in the interest of the country. As the other co-panelist, Ms. Kumaramangalam, said that cultural nationalism has always been on the agenda of BJP. And on that agenda, if the people of this country has chosen them, why not? The Hindu and Hindutva is not separate. Hindutva is just a shield for Hindus. So I think the cultural nationalism and the development that go hand in hand. And in a democracy, all of them combined
sure.
become
okay.
an electoral approach.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Deshratan Nigam, your opening comments.
Sanket, in fact, a lot of people are getting confused with Hindu Hindutvadi. What you saw in Kashi Vishwanath or for that matter Ram Mandir, as I have told you in your previous programs also, is an expression of India's civilizational, cultural and traditional identity. It has nothing to do with the political parties, and some of the political parties are missing it and are on the way of appeasing only Muslims. And therefore, this fictional definitions of Hindutva and Hindutvadi things are coming out, and it is their own self-definitions. I don't know from where are they getting it, and then they try to deride and demean the Hindus. So that will not do. and it is beyond politics. And secondly, the inflation and other issues are right at the focus of it. That is where the Prime Minister, if you recall, and even Varanasi said, Vikas and Virasat are going hand in hand. So everything is there. And when people will talk of inflation, they will also do comparative study of the Congress era. What was the inflation rate at that point of time? So probably that is why they are avoiding these issues.
Sure. Tehsin Poonawala, your opening comments.
Good evening, Sanket. I have all my life only voted for the Congress. I continue to vote for the Congress. But the issue is that Prime Minister Modi or the BJP has three agendas. One is Hindu-Muslim. Number two is some sort of hyper-nationalism or cultural nationalism. And the third is then to add to that, they bring in schemes that they tend to give to the poor. And that enhances Mr. Modi's image. You must have a counter-narrative against that. The Congress, if in an inflation rally, harps on Hindu versus Hindutva, the Congress will not win because that is Mr. Modi's strongest pitch. You got to get Modi out of the religious debate and onto the pitch that he does not want to play in. That is economy, that is development, that is inflation. For all means, compare quality of life between 2004, 2014 and 2014 onwards, and you'll see that the UPA performed much better. But the Congress, unfortunately, is getting into a trap that Mr. Modi wants the Congress to get into, and I think that was only bad news for the Congress. Fight it on your strong points, which is development and growth rate that you gave the country.
Okay. Now, whether that is happening or not is going to be a subject matter of debate. Let's throw this open for a discussion now, and I'm going to, for the purpose of convenience, divide our debate in two parts. One is this whole talk about secularism, right? Whether what is being done right now by the government is challenging India as a secular state. And the other, of course, will be who sets the agenda and what is it necessarily wrong for the opposition to engage in an agenda being set by the BJP. Ambassador Verma, I want to begin with you on the secularism debate. You know, when the Prime Minister was in Kashi, when he threw open the Kashi Vishwanath corridor, reams were written on how this is a deviation of how we understand secularism in this country. That he is altering the way the constitution constructs, or separates religion from governance. What is your reading of what is happening right now versus what was happening earlier?
You know, I'll define it very clearly for you.
Sure.
Hinduism is like a grand, self-assured river flowing from the dawn of time, a Sanatan Dharma. Political Hindutva is the attempt to build a narrow, concretized tributary from it, full of hatred, exclusion, bigotry, and violence. And I think the time has come for Hindus to make the difference. The time has come for them to say that in the name of political Hindutva, you can't tell a lady whether she can only wear a sari or if she can wear jeans. Mm. The time has come to ask them, who has empowered the vigilantes to vandalize a studio setting in Bhopal because they say their religious sentiments are hurt? Mm. The time has come to ask, who has given vigilante groups acting in the name of Hindutva to stop namaz in administratively approved places in Gurgaon? Mm. The time has come to ask, in Gurugram, the time has come to ask who decides that if you say Diwali Mubarak, it is a travesty against their notion of what Hindu faith should be. Hmm. These are questions which should concern us. Hmm. The time has come for them to ask that when a BJP MP rants against an ad campaign where a Hindu woman is not shown wearing a bindu as it being against Hindu values, who has given them the right to speak of all Hindus? Therefore, the narrative of Hinduism is one of inclusion, of tolerance, of pluralism, of a grandeur and loftiness of thought. The audacity of thought, as I
which you're saying that in this present narrative is missing.
Political Hindutva reduce it to its lowest common denominator.
Okay.
And let me just add a point here.
Yeah.
unless you ask me another question, because I want to point out
please,
this is important. Mm-hmm. You see, Hindutva is being used to deflect attention from real issues. Give me just a minute, Sanket. The WPI, rate of inflation, is over 14% at a 12-year high. Mm. The poor in this country, who earn $2 a day, have risen from something like 59 million in 2020 to 134 million.
Yeah.
The middle class has shrunk within 1 year from 99 million to 66 million. Cooking oil is 200 rupees more expensive. DAP, the fertilizer that the farmer uses, is selling after you have to almost create a riot to get a bag at 1500 rupees when the maximum retail price is 1200 rupees. The point I'm trying to make is unemployment is at a 45-year high.
No, while all of this is whether correct, but see, prices, this is something which obviously should have been the focal point of all the arguments. However, who's setting the narrative?
Therefore,
and who's
the
winning
BJP
the narrative
is
battle?
Riding. Yeah. So in the absence as yet of an organized and cohesive opposition that relentlessly focuses on the real issues.
Okay.
And also draws attention to the dangers.
I'm going to come back to you, Ambassador Verma.
You will
and also try to get back Lalitha Kumaramangalam. But in the meanwhile, PKD Nambiar, see, the point is secularism from the opposition and many of the critics have said that this is a deviation of how we understand India as a secular state. What's your argument?
What is secularism mean so far in the independent India is concerned has been always appeasement politics. Many Congress leaders, senior leaders have many times have said that minority appeasement have been the one of the main hallmark of this consecutive governments, whether it is Indira Gandhi, Rajiv Gandhi, or for that matter from the Nehruvian time. So the whole idea of secularism has been just confined to only limited to Muslim appeasement and or that for that matter.
No, but then the inverse of that cannot be true. No,
for the second part of it.
The reverse of that cannot be true.
Whether you have
that you can't have a government which will very overtly only engage in majority appeasement. That's the criticism.
If the
state engaged with all religions,
one thing you need to understand.
This criticism would not have been valid.
Yes, Ambassador said. Ambassador Verma said, Sanatan Dharma has got a history which has been practiced secularism all throughout. That is the reason we have a religion which has given birth to three religions, which has accepted all the religions to this world, and they have been existent from the last almost thousands of years. So the beauty of secularism which has been practiced have put into the question.
While we discuss the definition, these are important debates to have.
After it has added into the constitution.
These are one more, Mr. Nambiar. These are important debates to have. But you see, the thing is, Mr. Shastri, I'll come back to you, Tehseen. Mr. Shastri, the thing is that when you have this debate, and you can accuse me also of having this debate, emotional debate, emotive debate, on secularism, altering secularism, what it tends to do is completely overshadows a discussion on what ideally would have been the real issue. And to that extent, why do I say that the Congress fell into the trap is that you held a Mahangai rally in Jaipur last Sunday. And in that Mahangai rally, while it was all about Mahangai, 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 suddenly Rahul Gandhi chose to talk about Hindu versus Hindutvavadi, knowing fully well that it's like defeating Australia on the Melbourne cricket ground. This is their pitch. This is the BJP's pitch. They have a natural advantage on a discourse like this. And surely they did.
I think not at all, Sanket. I think you got it all wrong.
Sure.
See, Mr. Rahul Gandhi spoke about Mehngai, every other leader on the stage spoke about Mehngai, and Mehngai is the key issue, is very crucial, it's the most important issue at the moment. We are not deviating from that. But people have to understand and people have to realize what narrative is the BJP trying to create of Hindu versus Hindutva. What is Hindu? Hindu is a religion which is open to all, accepting to all, tolerant to all, you know, accommodating everyone in the society. What is Hindutva? Hindutva is just the opposite. And Hinduism was not born in 2002 or 2014.
And I'm going to come back to that debating point.
It's a 2,000-year-old religion.
The fact that this discussion is important and is being had right now is okay. But again, the fact that we are having right now on the eve of elections is advantage BJP. This is exactly the debate that they want. They want political parties to engage on this extremely emotional, emotive issue. And you engage with them. Similarly, Samajwadi Party engaged with the Jinnah discourse. Ghanshyam Tiwari, would you like to reply? See, the point is, you could have chosen to fight this on your own turf. You had a lot of issues. But both the Samajwadi Party leader and the Congress leader, I'm not saying that this is wrong. We'll come to that debate a little later. If somebody is saying something, it's okay to challenge it in a political arena. But you feel that once you make an effort to go in that direction, you naturally give an advantage to the BJP. After all, this is what they want.
Sanket, the good thing is they got what they wanted. Ever since that speech, BJP has been going around saying Jinnah versus Ganna, Amit Shah, Jam, all kinds of things that people don't care about. And here is what we are saying, that if you elect BJP, petrol, diesel, you will have to pay 200 rupees a litre. Tomato, you will have to pay 200 rupees a litre. Mustard oil, you have to pay 400 rupees a litre. And unemployment, your children who are unemployed at age of 21 will remain unemployed at the age of 31. And right now, you see youth fighting on the mission of hatred and engineers of hatred that BJP creates. Then you will see children fighting in school. Not a single education minister of BJP has stood up and said that in 2 years, children have gone back on literacy. What are we doing about that? They still say that there are no corona deaths. But BJP is so arrogant in their propaganda of religion that they think that they have hit a jackpot and are doubling down on what I call Modi Yogi Tamasha. That Tamasha was visible because in that 6 hours, they forgot the 6 months where Banaras saw more deaths, several times more deaths than what was officially recorded. Not a single...
But my point is, how did you counter it? This is the same Varanasi which saw deaths. You're right. But this is the same Varanasi that saw a Kashi Vishwanath corridor.
That's why I'm saying that we don't have to counter it. They will double down on Modi Yogi Tamasha. But on the grassroots, as you see the Samajwadi party rallies, whether it is Vijay Yatra, Parivartan Yatra, you will see that people are coming together and saying one thing. Today,
okay, you know, this is the point that I'm trying to make, that is this a dilemma in the opposition or not, to engage or not to engage on things related to Hindu / Hindutva / Hindutvavadi / Jinnah, to engage in this discourse or not engage? I do see that sometimes this attempt is made within the Congress and the Samajwadi Party and the opposition to not get into this Hindu-Muslim discourse. But then eventually your big leaders, tall leaders, end up making a comment. Whether that is right or not, I'm not commenting on that.
I think BJP is holding this.
Yes, Ms. Kumaram. I'll come back to you. Ms. Kumaram, we lost her connection. Now she's back with us. Ms. Kumaram Angalam, my first question was on the issue of secularism. You must have seen and read about the criticism of Narendra Modi and the central government altering secularism in this country as we know it by way of these debates, this discourse and action.
Sanket, neither politics nor history is static. It's an organic thing. People change, countries change, politics change. I think what I'm seeing today evening is the resistance to change from all the anti-BJP parties. It's laughable to me. I'm sorry if I sound arrogant. My apologies if I sound arrogant. But it's, why is everything always the blame of the BJP? This is a free country. You yourself has pointed out any party can talk on whatever issue they want to. That they choose to engage in building these terms, Hindu, Hindutva, Hinduism, Hindutvavadi, Hinduvadi, whatever, 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 just shows that they are also changing. So when, and you know, the people of this country are not stupid. In 2014, Mr. Modi did not win on a Hindu plank. He won on the plank that he was a man who had provided Gujarat with excellent administration.
That's exactly the point, Ms. Kumaramangam. He did not win on the Hindutva plank. Why has it come to the fore now?
If it has come to the fore, ask the opposition. Why are you blaming us? We have not. No, in 2019 again, Mr. Modi did not win on a Hindu plank.
Mr. Shastri said because you failed.
Because he had.
You raked this up because you want to hide your failure.
Where have we raked it up? You all are the ones who are going on raking it up. If the Prime Minister of a country who happens to belong to a particular religion has said that I'm trying to right certain historical wrongs.
Here's my counter to that.
And goes and
we would have found it perfectly acceptable in the Indian context how secularism is defined. Ms. Kumaramangalam, one moment. It would have been perfectly acceptable in the Indian context. Maybe Ambassador Verma can correct me. In the Indian context, where the state engages with all religions, unlike the French model, right? So if the state would have engaged with all religions, if you would have seen the Prime Minister going to a Gurdwara also, a mosque also, and a temple also.
With that, all the temples, all the masjids and the Christian churches should also be a part of the government rule. Why only Hindu?
Okay, I'll come back. Mr. Nambi, I'll come back to you. One moment. That question was for Ms. Kumaramangalam.
Let me answer. Politicians are to engage with religion, then the meaning of secular means you engage with all religions equally.
Yes.
Where is the equality?
Where is the equality?
For the last 60 or 70 years, all top...
No, come on. Just because there was no equality for... Just because there was no equality for 70 years, there will be no equality now.
We should turn the other face. We are not now willing to turn the other cheek to be slapped on all over again. We are told, don't rake up history where Hindus were massacred, even after 1947. No, I'm not just talking about 1,000 years back or over the last 1,000 years, the last millennium. I'm talking about the fact that Hindus have now, whether you call it a resurgence, or a new belief in their own religion,
sure,
or their own the way they live lives. Why is that so galling to others who talk secularism?
Okay, Tehsin as well as Mr. Deshratan Nigam.
Secularism, take us
okay, let's
equally.
Move beyond secularism now. Tehsin as well as Mr. Deshratan Nigam. Tehsin, I want to come to you now. See, the point is, who sets the agenda? Now, it's very easy for many representatives of the Congress to say that, you know, things work in an ecosystem. The media has to do its part. This has to do their part. I mean, as a political party, you cannot be looking for tools.
Sanket, on this very show, the BJP member and Mr. Nambiar, who supports the BJP, made it abundantly clear that Muslims were favored by the Congress over Hindus in the last 70 years. We all agree that these points made by these two people who support the BJP or members of the BJP. And in my opening remarks, that's precisely what I told you. The BJP's agenda is to say, look, Hindus have been discriminated against because the Congress has been a Muslim appeasing party. Now, that's how the BJP's, it's one of their agendas. When you play, and I take your example of the Melbourne pitch, where you have a Glenn McGrath, or you have perhaps on an Australian pitch, or on a West Indian pitch, you have Curtly Ambrose, and you have Courtney Walsh bowling with 9 slip fielders, you leave the ball outside the off stump. You don't have to go about poking at the ball. That is the delivery that is bouncing on the off stump and swinging out. Please leave it. Do not take on that delivery. You have plenty of other deliveries as ambassador.
Also, that's a message to the opposition. Tehsin, you're saying
I'm talking
that
about the ambassador. Yes,
the odd ball must be left.
Yes, I'm talking about what Ambassador Verma said. You have what Ghanshyam said, the deaths in Varanasi, you have the fuel price rise, you have everything. You have those deliveries when the loose deliveries come, hook it for a boundary, straight
away. Let me open this
please
up. I think this is interesting.
Ghanshyam
Tiwari.
5 seconds more. Just 5 seconds more. The point
can
is you're playing
in,
into the trap.
Yeah, one more.
BJP, just 5 seconds more. The BJP is setting for you. My agenda as a political analyst is not to see Mr. Modi lose. My agenda is to see Congress win. Mr. Modi losing is not what's going to make me happy. And is Congress winning by playing to the Hindu agenda?
Okay, so on the BJP stuff, it will be difficult for the opposition to win. Deshratan Nigam, yes, you wanted to come in.
Yes, Sanket, in fact, the beauty of Hinduism and our diversity is that everybody is free to give their own definition about Hinduism or Hindutva, Hindutvavadi or anything. But this is what is being started by the opposition, as Ms. Kumar Mangalam clearly pointed out. It's not the BJP which rakes it up. And then the polarize, and if there is a counter reaction to it, you call that BJP is polarizing. The fact remains, secularism has not been defined in our constitution. It is just mentioned in the preamble. Nothing less, it should have been defined. It on, and the various articles in the constitution only, you know, gives that it has to be respect for all religions. And there is no separation of state and religion in our constitution. Please remember that. Because there are minority rights over and above the majority. So you can't say the constitution is neutral so far as religion is concerned. Hajj houses are being built in India from the taxpayers' money. That is allowed and permitted. So the other way is also seen. So you have to remember that distinction also. Our constitution does not separate state from religion. It does not define it.
Okay.
So let's have first understanding.
No, I'm only talking about engaging with all religions. What appears now, or what the criticism is, that the Prime Minister and the BJP chooses to engage with only a religion. The difference is between all and a.
That's not the case. Let me point out.
Let me tell you this. Let's not forget it. Successive governments before us didn't bother. In fact, if you compare Triple Talaq Bill to Shabanu, who was actually taking better care of the Muslim women? So these are not facts. I'm sorry. I can't accept this.
Sure.
What I'm saying is that if you want us to be secular, fine. But then every religion should be equal under the constitution.
Okay, okay.
That
now,
is the real meaning.
Okay, let's move forward now. Ghanshyam Tiwari, you heard what Tehsin Poonawalla said. He said a very interesting thing. Mr. Shastri, I'm going to come to you also and Ambassador Verma also. This is a very interesting point.
Sanket,
he says...
question to both the
One more. Mr. Nambiar, one moment. We'll lose track otherwise. Ghanshyam Tiwari, Tehsin Poonawalla says that you will get that loose ball, hit it out of the park, but for you to play on their turf is going to be difficult. So duck when it is difficult. They will fire their shots, but you wait for the loose ball. Mr. Tiwari, why is it that the opposition tends to get confused about this?
Sanket, if you look at what is happening in Uttar Pradesh, it is BJP that is doubling down on its arrogance and not talking about the agenda on which people are coming together. People want the leaders to talk about employment. BJP does not. In 2 days of Modi Yogi Tamasha in Kashi, they did not speak about employment or price rise or any of the agenda that mattered. They did not. Or they did not speak about COVID.
What's your assumption now? That people saw all of this and angered them further and they are going to further consolidate in the opposition's favor?
My confidence is that voters in Uttar Pradesh, just like in Bengal or in Bihar, want the political parties to speak about employment. And they are not talking about, there's a major exam paper leak. 20 lakh students are affected. 20 lakh families are affected.
I will tell you, since you gave the Bengal example, I'll give you a counter example. Ambassador Verma, in Bengal, Mamata Banerjee was accused of soft peddling. I mean, she started reading, chanting mantras in all her rallies. Many people said that this is her attempt to ward off criticism of her being pro-Muslim. So the point, the similar allegation against the Aam Aadmi Party also, that you go temple hopping, against the Congress also, that now they want to course correct to get these dynamics right. So it was not, I mean, this aspect also has to be looked into.
I've been listening to the debate, Sanket, and I'm a very proud Hindu. My last book is called The Great Hindu Civilization.
Yes.
And I have two or three comments to make. Firstly, to discuss the real issues, the opposition has to get its act together. This is the truth. And I think the TMC will be playing its own role in trying to create that in a far more effective manner, including electorally. Otherwise, the loose ball will come and may get a wicket. Secondly, why should I not? Why should I not? Why should I not question the BJP's monopoly on Hinduism?
Ah, now the most important point. Yes.
Who has given them the right to interpret for millions upon millions of Hindus what it is to be a Hindu. Half the vigilantes, if I lock up in a room and ask them to write a 2-page note on what is Hinduism, I guarantee you 99% will fail.
That will be, that's the beauty.
They don't know what is
Hinduism. But that's the beauty of Hinduism.
They don't know what is Hinduism.
Without even
having
One by one.
Mr. Nambiar, one by one. I'll complete.
And you don't have to go to a madrasa or a religious place to learn, or you don't have to be an expert in Bhagavad Gita to become a Hindu. That is what Hinduism
is. Sanket, can you put some order in this debate? Otherwise, people are cross-talking.
Ambassador Verma, please, I'll come back to you, Mr. Nambiar.
You don't define the Hinduism. Hinduism has
therefore,
not...
Mr. Nambiar, one moment, please. Bound right.
Supreme Court has also defined Hinduism.
Therefore, it is my duty-bound right.
To question...
It is my duty-bound right as a Hindu.
To question...
And a devout Hindu.
Okay, to question the form of Hindu being presented.
My...
Okay. Okay, sure. Let me move on. Mr. Shastri. Mr. Shastri, this is an important point that Ambassador Verma has made.
What is the right?
Why, is it the sole right of the BJP... Yeah. To talk about, see, Tehsin, Mr. Verma, Ambassador Verma has completely flipped Tehsin's argument around. He's saying duck. Ambassador Verma is saying, why duck? Question and challenge.
No, no.
So, Mr. Shastri, what are you going to do?
I first have the right to reply.
First, let me counter Mr. Verma. Mr. Verma is a very senior and respected panelist here, very literate. And unfortunately, you know, I don't want to get into a tutu meme match with him, what the role of TMC is going to be in the opposition or what the role of the Congress is going to be. Congress is, without Congress, there is no opposition. Let me correct Mr. Verma here. And times will tell, the future is not that far, the elections are coming. We'll come to know the results. Trying to prove a point which is going to be a complete failure. And I don't want to make a laughing stock of ourselves, the opposition, in front of all the BJP panelists here. So let me not go there. But if you look at our campaign in Uttar Pradesh, Sanket, our campaign in Uttar Pradesh there has been no religion, there has been absolutely a new narrative we have set in, which is Vikas, woman empowerment. We are not talking about caste, we are not talking about community, we are not talking about religion, and Priyanka Gandhi is taking on an absolutely new turf. That is the woman empowerment. We are talking about health improvement, we are talking about health infrastructure, we are talking about better education.
Mr. Shastri, in a way, you are setting your own agenda.
The children in Uttar Pradesh.
You are setting your own agenda.
Four aayengi, three aayengi.
Ambassador Verma, what are you saying?
I'm just saying.
Nee,
I really appreciate.
Nee, Mr. See, I don't
want
to.
Really I'm
not getting into argument.
The sentiments expressed by Mr.
Shastri. Fine. Three will come, four will come. How many will come? We'll see that. Let's not go there. Mr. Verma, with respect, I'm telling you, let's not go there. I also wish you well, Mr. Verma.
We can choose to look at this as divided opposition or diversity in opposition, whichever way you want to look at it. But quickly coming back to the point that Ambassador Verma was making, Lalita Kumaramangalam and then Deshratan Nigam. Ms. Kumaramangalam, if the BJP is professing a type...
When someone tries to wear shoes bigger than his size, this is what happens. And TMC is trying to do that at the moment.
Okay. Ms. Kumaramangalam, Ms. Ambassador Verma is saying that why should we not question you on this model of Hindutva or this Hindu identity that you are trying to create?
The BJP has no fears about being questioned. Hmm. I was not the one who said that they should not rake up Hindutva, wear janeyu, or say that, Hindus, Hindutva, Vadi Hindu, whatever, all of these terms that have just been minted over the last few years. It's not me. It's the disunity amongst them that seems to be giving them the shivers. For all the rhetoric, for all the name calling of the BJP and its leaders, ultimately you have realized that the Hindu vote counts. For too many years, there has already been votes that have been asked for in the name of particular community.
No, but then,
community.
Ms. Kumaramangalam, are you not worried that that Hindu vote is
that.
Also worried about price rise? That Hindu vote also lost Sanket. Family members in COVID? And that Hindu Sanket. Vote was told that we have no data about oxygen-related Sanket. Deaths?
Sanket, people in every country have been affected by COVID. India has comparatively well, given the numbers that this country has, dealt very well with COVID.
Sure.
We have no fear to reply to these questions when questions are asked.
Very
we
quickly,
do reply.
Deshatan Nigam.
The failure of the opposition to even get present a unified
Deshatan Nigam. Okay, okay. Just sticking to this subject, taking Ambassador Verma's comment further, why should the opposition not question you on Hinduism? Or Hindutva?
I think we are a questioning, questioning society, and I think the most questions are asked in India only, and you can't deny that. The fact remains that nobody can monopolize Hinduism, and even just, I am sure Mr. Verma, before writing the book, must have read Justice Gajendra Gadkar's judgment of 1966 that talks of Hinduism being a way of life. And that diversity is what we are proud of.
Okay.
And that permits everybody to
sure.
have their own definition.
Last comment,
now,
I'm running out of time.
Secondly,
yes.
It is the political parties, opposition political parties, which are throwing loose ball to BJP.
Okay.
They don't want to, you know, discuss serious issues.
Another
maybe
cricket
because of the lack of competency in their cadre or in their leadership or some other issues, some other reasons.
Okay, so final comment, is, right to reply of Tehsin Poonawalla.
Tehsin
says, duck the ball. Ambassador Verma says, why should I duck? I am Kapil Dev. I will hit it out of the park.
You better be Jay Shah than Virat Kohli.
But the fact of the... He better not be Virat Kohli. Otherwise, he'll be kicked out. And no courtesy Jay Shah. But let's come to the pertinent point out here. Yeah. Look, Ambassador Verma, statistics show that 45% in a country which is 80% Hindu, the BJP gets 38% vote, which does not even get all the Hindu votes. The enemies of Hindus and the Muslims are the same. Inflation, price rise, petrol, bodies floating in the Ganga, lack of medical care and bigotry. When you choose just one battle and you leave the other battles, which is a common enemy, you are fighting on the pitch that the BJP wants.
I never said that.
You may win. You
do
may
it
win,
more effectively.
But statistics are that the BJP will do better. Here is what. You will win absolutely when you take on the BJP, when they're balling short at you with 9 slips kept out there and the entire ground
okay.
open. Put them out of the ground.
Completely
and
out of time.
It's not either or. It's not either or. Do both, but do them well.
Okay, do them well. That's the point we made in the opening comment also. If you, Jo Jita Vai Sikandar, survival of the fittest. If you can fight them on, take them head on. Thank you very much to all of you all. Some questions on coup also. Gopal Swami says, Mehngai forgotten. Opposition do not have a grip on the situation. They all are obsessed with the objective of toppling BJP and Prime Minister Modi. Suman says, BJP knows this is a good topic to divert opposition from the real issues. At this moment, I would also like to welcome Mr. Naresh Gujral, Rajya Sabha MP of the Shiromani Akali Dal. Mr. Gujral, what do you think of this narrative?
Well, let me tell you one thing. I'm extremely sad when I see all this because both the BJP and the NDA in 2014 fought and won the election on an economic platform. People expected them to transform their lives, to provide jobs, to make the economy grow. But unfortunately, they've gone on a totally different tangent. Yes, in the beginning, it did fetch them votes. So other parties have started to emulate them. But I think this is something which is extremely sad because it is destroying the secular fabric of this country.
Mr. Gujral, you think this actually helps in fetching more votes and diverting attention for the ruling party? If that is the motive, then does it work or will it work from here on?
You know, I can't. I think there's a law of diminishing returns.
Okay.
It fetched them votes the first time, but I'm not sure whether you can fool all the people all the time.
But you know, one of the things that you have said in the past also that the youth in this country is getting restless and that issue needs to be address. Can you elaborate? Why do you say this?
Well, I come from the state of Punjab, and I see that in Punjab, for example, the unemployment rate is higher than 20%. Young boys and girls are leaving the country. They are, you know, legally or illegally, because they can't find jobs. And when they don't find jobs, some take to drugs, some take to crime. So this is a very dangerous path to follow. And I think the sooner we come back to mainstream politics, which means total focus on the economy, only then do I see a future for this country.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Gujral, why do you think the focus is not on the economy? Because the government says the focus
is
still
totally
there.
Moved away. People are very anxious. Look at the price rise. Look at the unemployment. All these things are hurting the poor man on the street. Now, if you think that by giving them a dose of religion, you are solving your temporary problems, you may get a few votes in the short run, but long term is going to be a disaster for the country.
Do you think, Mr. Gujral, my final question, this will have a sort of an impact on the this discourse around Hindutva will have some impact on the minorities?
And I can say here one thing, that minorities are feeling very insecure. Whether it's a Muslim, whether it's a Christian or a Sikh or a Jain, minorities are feeling extremely insecure in this country today.
All right, Mr. Gujral, thank you very much for joining us on this discussion. We're stopping for a short break. News continues on the other side.